Imagine standing on stage with no script, no plan, and no safety net. Just you, your scene partner, and the expectant silence of an audience. This is the thrilling terror of improvisation. In Improvise, Seen from the Inside Out, Mick Napier shatters conventional wisdom with a revolutionary insight. The problem isn't that you're breaking rules, it's that you're following too many of them. While countless improv teachers preach don't deny and yes and, Napier reveals these well-intentioned guidelines often create the very problems they aim to prevent. The true secret? Get out of your head and into action. The magic of improvisation emerges not from careful adherence to principles, but from the courage to make bold choices and commit to them fully. This philosophy has transformed performers worldwide, including luminaries like Tina Fey and Stephen Colbert, who credit Napier's approach for their spontaneous brilliance. Beyond the stage, his insights offer a profound lesson for everyday life. Sometimes thinking less and doing more is the path to authentic presence. The standard improv rulebook reads like the Ten Commandments. Don't deny. Don't ask questions. Establish who, what, where immediately. These guidelines seem helpful until you're frozen on stage, mentally checking whether your next line violates any principles. What's really happening in those painful moments of hesitation? Fear. Confusion. More fear. Thinking. More fear. These rules emerged from observing bad scenes and noticing patterns. Denial. Pointless questioning. Dictating action. A false hypothesis formed. Eliminate these behaviors and good scenes will naturally follow. But correlation isn't causation. These bad moves appear nearly as often in brilliant scenes, but go unnoticed because everyone's enjoying themselves. If rules don't work, what does? Napier offers a simple three-step approach that bypasses fear and connects you directly to your creative impulses. First, do something. Anything. The specific choice matters less than the act of choosing. Physical choices, grabbing an imaginary object, adopting a posture, making a sound, serve as powerful starting points. When you commit to action, you'll still feel fear, but stop caring about it. Second, check out what you did. Notice your creation without questioning why or worrying about what comes next. Simply observe what you literally just did. Many improvisers skip this step, following a successful line with something disconnected because they didn't recognize what worked. Third, hold on to what you did. Once you've acknowledged your creation, commit to it fiercely. In The Wizard of Oz, Dorothy never wavers from wanting to return to Kansas, just as the Tin Man always wants a heart. In improvisation, you create your character instantaneously, but the principle remains the same. Commit fully to your choice. Support your partner in improvisation means making strong, decisive choices, not being weak or deferential. When improvisers commit to bold choices, they create the game of the scene. If your partner becomes angry at your laughing character, support by heightening both perspectives. Laugh more intensely while fueling their anger. This dynamic becomes the scene's essence. Listening must be purposeful, seeking ammunition to enhance what you've created through your character's perspective. When entering a scene, immediately adopt a character or emotional disposition, giving yourself armor to respond authentically rather than scrambling to establish identity. Strong choices establish context, the agreed-upon roadmap for the scene. Context creates expectations, making surprises within that framework delightful rather than confusing. The Wizard of Oz demonstrates this perfectly. Kansas in black and white versus Oz in color creates clear context, while the yellow brick road provides a literal guide through the story. Within an established framework, specificity becomes your most powerful tool. When self-judging, we default to vagueness. Instead, use specifics in scenes. Put that red vase next to the porcupine statue, rather than put that over there. Specifics color scenes, provide valuable information to your partner, expedite action, and generate quicker audience reactions. Superior improvisers add personal objects or mannerisms to characters, enhancing believability. An executive flicking a yo-yo during a serious conversation transforms from archetypal to multidimensional. These personal touches reveal personality and generate more laughs. Even simple choices, an executive stroking his ear or a Southern belle doing a little wave, make characters more individual and interesting. Traditional improv teaching often treats symptoms rather than causes. Bad improvisers don't fail because they ask questions. They ask questions because they're already failing, paralyzed by self-consciousness and fear. Adults have been conditioned to protect themselves through careful thought. We remember dangers and make choices based on past experiences, an evolutionary advantage that kept our ancestors alive but kills spontaneity on stage. When improvisers bring this self-protective consciousness into performance, they consider all possibilities before acting, creating what's called being in your head. Audiences don't pay to watch adults thinking. They come to see people playing. Despite improvisation's spontaneous nature, predictable patterns often emerge. Cave scenes become about escaping, submarines feature periscopes, and hot air balloon scenes focus on landing. Breaking these patterns creates richer, funnier, more substantive work. Make opposite choices. Rather than showing typical salespeople at a used car lot, portray employees complaining about personal lives. This creates theatrical discovery instead of a familiar negotiation scene. Introduce curveballs, elements that seem unrelated but connect later. In a scene about a boy dreading punishment for scratching a car, asking, "Do you like butterflies?" gains meaning when we learn chasing butterflies is an activity he'll lose as punishment. Use the pull-out, pull-back-in technique by temporarily reversing your character's established viewpoint before returning to it. If your character fears being an outcast at a party, briefly agreeing to attend before reverting to fear strengthens your initial position and creates engaging dramatic tension. Improvisers often discuss energy in scenes, and viewing improv through thermodynamics reveals it follows the second law. Entropy inevitably increases over time. Our challenge is reducing entropy by minimizing wasted energy. When improvisers abandon viewpoints, hesitate from fear, or repeat themselves, they disperse valuable energy. Everything in improv requires immediate energy to combat disorder, and once a scene's energy dissipates, it cannot be recovered. This scientific perspective explains why maintaining and heightening choices is crucial. You're actively fighting disorder. Each hesitation allows energy to disperse, while each strong choice injects new energy, temporarily pushing back against entropy's relentless progression. The journey of improvisation is ultimately about freedom, freedom from self-judgment, rules, and the paralysis of overthinking. It's about reclaiming the spontaneous joy of play we abandoned in childhood. By making strong choices, acknowledging our creations, and maintaining our point of view, we access a flow state that feels magical but simply results from being fully present. What if we applied these principles beyond the stage? Improvisation offers a radical proposition. Perhaps authentic connection comes not from careful preparation, but from the courage to act without a script, to improv through life, moment by moment, fully present and unafraid.